This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Artist still known as Bradfo, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. Baseball Isn't Boring is presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com.
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
The sound finally means Rob is here.
Yeah, baseball is a boring show live from Fenway Park, the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. That's Gordo you hear. Hello, Gordo.
What's up, Rob? It was weird last week hearing here's the artist known as Bradfo, and then it was like us and Joe Wild.
Yeah. I think that, so I just told you I am a warrior. I'm like Willis Reed. I'm Paul Pierce. I'm Larry Bird, getting off my deathbed all week. Then boom, spring in here. Just loaded up on caffeine because I've been sick. I think I get sick with it. It was a glorious, glorious time, the function I was at last week. But I think also it was the impetus for me being sick all week. But that doesn't matter now because we're turning the page, Gordo.
What was your first day of being sick? Like how many days ago was it? I'm trying to figure out if your illness coincides with the Red Sox poor play.
No, don't listen. We only do a deal in signs, okay? And by the way, 617-779-7937. And I want to note, speaking of science, we strive to find out how you actually win games, how you go on win streaks. So we just don't say, hey, Red Sox, do this. Hey, Red Sox, do that. This should happen. Yeah, we will say that. But really, we also like Gordo to deal in science, right?
Of course. Science and data, that's what
science and data. So what do? We turn to the president of baseball operations of a team that has actually won 12 straight, and Derek Falvey of the Minnesota Twins will be joining us at 1:30. Also, Lynn Native, which doesn't hurt as well. So anyway, I don't care about my sickness. I don't want to talk about my sickness. I don't care about it.
You sound great for a guy who was on his deathbed yesterday.
It's relative. It's relative. It's okay. I fake it till you make it. I'm ready to go. There's a ton to talk about. Yay, uniforms. Congratulations, Red Sox. You did a good job with the uniforms. Let's get that out of the way. All right? Yes?
They did. All right. They look fantastic.
It'd be even better if Gordo was wearing some of them now. I mean, come on.
I would love to wear any gear that they want to give me. I would put it right on and wear it.
The people the playtesting guys who scream from the mountaintops more than anybody else, that the Red Sox fandom, like, you should be passionate about. The Red Sox fandom should be passionate about this team, win, lose, or tie. It's the playtesting guys. Put some gear on that guy right there. Instead, I gave him a baseballs and boring hat, which he's wearing right now.
And I'm not taking it off.
No, ever.
It's
ever
glued to my scalp.
Well, and so that's what I'm saying. I gave Rocco Baldelli a baseballs and boring sticker. This is not a lie. This isn't a bit. I gave him a sticker when they were at Fenway. And I said, Rocco, you're going to go on a win streak now. That was 12 games ago. They won 12 in a row.
So you gave it to him before, like right before the first
right
game of the 12 game win streak.
Right, yes. They won 12 in a row. The only time Torrey Lovello, the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, have won a World Series game as a manager of a baseball team in the World Series was with a Baseball Isn't Boring sticker in his hat. He was wearing it in his hat. It's science, Gordo. So that's what I put out on Twitter. I said, hey, Red Sox, you want to win games? Come on down. We're at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio. Someone from your organization, come down. And if you happen to be carrying one of those sweet green shirts for Gordo, so be it. Come on down. I will give you a sticker and you'll start winning games. All right?
I'm trying to imagine the kind of win streak this team could go on. I'm looking at your hat and Rob's hat. It's not the exact sticker, but he's got a Baseball Isn't Boring logo right on his hat that looks just like the sticker.
Yes.
I'm trying to picture what kind of win streak the Red Sox would be capable of if you just panned to the dugout and Alex Cora was wearing
it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. It would be incredible.
It's much like when Derek White wore his Baseball Isn't Boring t-shirt.
Right. And that was the game of the year.
Yeah. They have to start understanding. Lean into it, man. Don't shy away from the Baseball Isn't Boring science. Just lean into it. We lean into it, and it's awesome. It's great. We always have these great shows. Great show. Great job by you last week with all the guys. Joe Weil,
Pat.
Running the ship. Pat, excellent job.
Pat.
Portugal Pat. I enjoy calling in. It was a great time. But then we go from last week to this week, and I was trying to remember, what did I say last week?
Rob, it feels like it's been 3 weeks.
Yeah, but one thing that hadn't changed was because last week when I called in, you guys did the show on Saturday, it was 2 days off of the Devers stuff, right? The Devers stuff happened after that Thursday. He talked. Then on Friday, you fuel up the jet. Here comes John Henry, Craig Breslow, Sam Kennedy. They're fueling up the jet to Kansas City. They have their meeting. All of a sudden, the Red Sox actually win a couple games in Kansas City. But then you go to Detroit, you lose. But no one's blaming Devers for that. The Devers thing sort of, all right, you hit, you're going to be DH, whatever. But I will say this. I pivoted, and you know where we went around the room when it came to the first base thing.
Oh, it was the day after it happened.
Right, right. And who was the one who with the Christian Campbell at first?
That was Sammy.
Sammy, okay. I have pivoted because my thing was put a first base glove on Marcelo Meyer. And I still say not a terrible solution. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I came to realize this week, which I think people were sleeping on when it comes to Christian Campbell. Potential rookie of the year. Absolutely part of the solution instead of the problem. No question about it. But also, defensively at second base, one of the worst in the major leagues this year. Like, I don't think we realize this. Analytically, one of the worst at second base. Now, I'm not saying that to crap all over Christian Campbell. Again, part of the solution, not part of the problem. But when you have that, and you have this athletic guy, then to Sammy's prescient comment, then you move him to first. So even before you saw Christian Campbell work out at first base yesterday, I was saying this on the Jones and Keefe show the day before. Like, I had pivoted. I had said, yes, that's the way you want to go. Now, here's my problem with what they're doing. Today, I saw your tweet, Boss Sports Gordo, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
Batting 1,000.
All right. Marcelo Meyer playing shortstop.
Yeah, why?
Come on!
Why?
Come on! What are we doing?
It doesn't, the Meyer at short, to me, if Christian Campbell's going to be working at first, that plan is Meyer's going to be your
just
second
do
baseman.
It. Just,
you just got to lean
drives,
into it and just do it.
And Brian Abraham's on assignment today. We sent him out on assignment, so he's not going to be able to join us. But I would say this to him as well. Come on. Like, this is where rubber meets the road time with this team. And I get it. You're only 2 games under 500. You're 5 games out, you're 3 back in the wild card, but as we're finding out with these other teams that other teams are figuring this out, Gordo.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right? When I point to you, that means stock.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I thought you were in the middle of a sentence. No, other teams have figured it out, and with the Red Sox, it feels like they've decided, okay, we're going to make some more urgent moves in some other areas, like Tanner Houck is not going to start another game for this team. Right now, we're going to call up Nick Birdie and see if we can catch lightning in a bottle there. And maybe
fine. That's good. That's fine.
But for whatever reason, with the kids, it doesn't feel
no, like but that is your avenue. That is your avenue. I had phrased it as jumper cables. Like, at this point, it's jumper cables. And here's another thing. I had promised you, Gordo, that I was going to give you a stat. I was just fiddling around.
Sure, you said that.
I was fiddling around. Like, oh, let's hold it for the show, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to blow your mind. But my point is like, I've been seduced by this narrative that the American League stinks for a while, right? The American League stinks. You got to take advantage of the American League, so forth and so on. Well, the American League doesn't stink. The American League is actually good. Like, that's what, and I bring that up, Gordo, because this is one of the problems that the American League has become better. The American League has become good. You have to keep pace. You are, can't just be this flawed team that all of a sudden emerges and makes a run. Go through it. I mean, the Yankees are good, even despite all their flaws. I mean, they lost.
And injuries.
And injuries. And they figured it out, and they're good.
The Tigers.
The Tigers. The Royals.
The Mariners.
You see the Royals starting pitching staff? The aforementioned Twins. You know, obviously the Guardians. The Astros. And guess who's a half game ahead of the Red Sox?
The A's.
The A's. And people say, oh, well, you know, A's, whatever. The A's are not a bad team. They have good young players.
Well, Rob, all of this is to say that you can't just sit around and play 500 ball or what they've been doing lately is
you
actually
digging a hole.
You need
jumper cables. So my stat is this. So
why are the jerseys not the jumper cables? That crochet day on a green jersey day, I get that you're facing Chris Sale.
You know what? When you make three base running mistakes that kill you,
that's true.
It doesn't matter what jerseys you're running into. And that's the maddening thing about this, right? Is that you're trying to desperately figure out what is the flaw here? What is the fatal flaw? Why aren't you able to turn the corner? One minute, it's the bullpen. Well, next minute, you know, it might be the starters. Well, next minute, it might be, you know, base running or striking out too much. But all I know is this, is that I've seen this. Sometimes you just need the jumper cables. You need something to sell it. Here we go. And I think, Gordon, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think that you have it built in with these young kids.
Oh, yeah.
You have it with Roman Anthony. You have it with Marcelo Meyer. So my point is when we talk about, oh, well, today's lineup in Worcester, that Marcelo Meyer's playing shortstop, I understand why they're moving him around. But now, let's go. Let's go.
You haven't afforded yourself any sort of wiggle room here. Like, you need to find the solution and find it as fast as you can. And every day that Marcelo Meyer is not playing shortstop, every day that maybe Christian Campbell doesn't get in work at first base, that's a day that you're wasting, and you're now two games under 500.
Hey, is Marcelo Meyer going to play shortstop for the Red Sox before he plays second base for the Red Sox?
Do I think?
No,
I think he's going to play second base.
Yes. Okay. All right. That's it.
So yeah, he should be.
And you know what? And you know what? He's played shortstop all his life. He knows how to play shortstop.
And he'll keep playing shortstop. It doesn't mean don't work him there.
It's fine. And that's the point. Is if he came up and you moved Christian Campbell to first base and you played Marcelo Meyer at second base and you had Trevor Story at shortstop and something happens to Trevor Story, guess what? You're still going to be able to put Marcelo Meyer at short.
Right.
You need every rep you can, much like you need every single day out here with Christian Campbell playing first base. This is what we're talking about. Unfortunately, this is not spring training. You do not have that luxury of spring training, of easing into things. You're doing things on the fly, so you have to take advantage of everything. The stat that I was going to give you, Gordo, is that, you know, I said the American League does not stink anymore. I just looked up interleague record, American League versus National League.
Mm.
It's kind of creepy how close it is. 99 to 98.
Wow.
American League, up by a game.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you look at the rosters, I don't know. I mean, the National League, yes, okay, I'll accept that stat, and it is a lot closer between the two than I think we all thought it was, especially a few weeks ago. You look at the rosters, the American League doesn't have teams like the Dodgers, doesn't have teams like the Padres, built like the Phillies. And then obviously there's a couple others playing really well.
I think the National League's top heavy.
It is. It's top heavy. That's a good way to put it. The American League has a lot of.
You know, and everyone screams about the National League West being the best division. And you can make the case, but the American League Central is right there. It's right there. You know, and the Mariners are good, and the Astros are good, and the Rangers are good, and the Athletics are good. They're all good teams.
When was the last time the AL Central was this good?
I don't know.
It feels like this is always the bottom feeder division of baseball, but they're all four. Everyone besides the White Sox there, and maybe it's a product of getting to play the White Sox more than the other teams, but they're all four games above 500 or better besides Chicago.
All right. Well, listen, usually we take Jeff after the first break because we're going to get Derek Falvey at the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Jeff right now. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. Good. How you guys doing?
I'm great.
You know, going, Jeff? This is the most perplexing team that I can ever remember. I don't even know where to go with it. Like, everything that I thought I could count on, you know, Alex Cora being able to handle the players and communication, well, that seems off. You know, with Devers, his ability to, you know, the bullpen. I always trusted Alex Cora. Give him a bunch of pitchers, he'll figure something out. You know, he's making poor decisions there. But, you know, the GM has been called out by a star player and has, you know, has basically been challenged by the star player. And, you know, I'm wondering how, you know, he's going to react. He's an intellectual, so maybe he can just, you know, I don't know. But it's like everything, you know, the hitting is just, you know, they hit just well enough to lose. You know, they score a couple of runs, lose by – it's just I've never been this perplexed or this confused by a team. You know, I just don't know what to make of them.
You know, Jeff, you mentioned the Devers-Breslow thing, and I hadn't really thought about this, about, you know, obviously he did that about a week and a half ago. And they fuel up the jet, and they get John Henry and the crew out there. But remember, speaking of a situation like that, Acuña Jr., right? He had, like, gone on social media and said something about Snicker, about how if this was me, it'd be a different story.
I'd be benched.
Right? But he apologized. Yep. He apologized publicly, right? Am I wrong?
Yep. You're right.
He apologized, or at least we know that he apologized. And you know, and I get it, like, where, you know, Breslow comes on our airwaves here and says Devers is an emotional guy and everything else. And I'm not saying this is going to go on a win streak if he comes out and apologizes, but you have to start getting things in order. You have to – and Jeff, we had Adam Ottavino on the podcast earlier this week, and we talked about the Mets last year. Remember, the Mets were floundering. And he said they got together and had to have this sort of come-to-you-know-what meeting and just say, hey, you know, guys, we got to get our act together. We have to come together. We have to sift through all this other nonsense. And they took off. But that's part of the nonsense. When you don't have accountability in that respect, I think that's part of it.
Well, it's got to be a free flow between every –
And, you know, I don't remember anything like this.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm sorry. No, but the last time I can remember something like this was Mo Vaughn and Dan Duquette. And that did not end well. You know, where you had the star player, you know, challenging the GM, and then he ends up in California. But it's just, I mean – the man's credibility, his authority was challenged by a star player, and it's crickets. Like, I don't know what the consequences are. I don't know what, you know, and I wonder, like, is everybody walking around on eggshells? I heard Willie Abreu after a game, star of the game show a while back, you know, it seemed to indicate, like, you know, he was saying, like, Devers should fall in line and should support them. Like, I just don't know. Like, is that going through the team? Is this – but I just, again, like, nothing clicks. Nothing that I expected to click has clicked. It's just, I've never been this perplexed.
Yeah, and Jeff, thanks for the call. And, you know, I think that's what we're talking about, Gordo, is that it's fine. You have talent. You have made this team. Sometimes you have to adjust. Making made trades isn't easy. I mean, we could talk to Derek Falvey about that at 1:30. Making made trades is very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. But you have to, at some point, sometimes you have to do something to, I keep saying it, the jumper cables. Like, you have to do something, and because the schedule isn't getting any easier. You knew this was coming. Kansas City, Detroit, Atlanta,
Mets.
Who's after that?
That's where I
All right, well, look it up.
I'll look it up.
If there was only a way to look it up. Anyway, 617-779-7937.
Orioles.
Speaking of which, pour one out for Brandon. In case people didn't hear, Brandon Hyde, the manager of the Orioles, fired today, which is, I saw Jason Stark tweet this out. It is amazing. 2 years ago, you know, the managers of the year, the two managers of the year.
Who's the NL?
Hold on. I'm looking this up right now. Oh, I'll get back to you. But I mean, Brandon Hyde was this is a cautionary tale. And Brandon, I do not blame Brandon Hyde at all.
Skip Schumacher.
Right?
18 months later, they're gone.
They're both gone. It is amazing. And you look up with the Orioles and say all of this embarrassment of riches, new owner and everything else. And then boom, it goes the other way. I didn't mention Christian Campbell about his struggles at second base. Well, the good thing about Christian Campbell is that he can play. His story is yet to be told about what position he's going to play.
Yeah, I actually, with the Christian Campbell second base thing, for him, he's the quickest learner of any prospect that we've had.
That's fine.
I think it will get better.
And that's why he'll be great at first. But I
think he could be okay at first.
Right. Okay.
It's definitely more.
It's easier to play first and second. And my point was with the Orioles, is that Jackson Holliday, he's right there with him. Analytically, defensively, the best prospect in baseball a year ago is right there with him at being a bad second baseman. So again, this is what we're saying here is that it's okay that you've gotten to mid-May and have some things to figure out. But you cannot keep waiting. You have to figure this out. You have to be aggressive. You have to say, all right, this is where we're at. Now we go. And that's playing Marcelo Meyer all the time at second base. That's keep working out Christian Campbell at first base. That's looking to find a way, whether it's Birdie, whoever, to fix the back end of the rotation. All of this stuff, you have to go.
You also just need, and this is something that's been plaguing this organization, it's seemingly since Chaim Bloom got here, but doesn't it feel like there's just been a disconnect between the front office and the field for going on, a half decade at this point? Like, when was the last time it's actually felt like everyone is on the same page about everything?
Well, 2021. I mean, 2021 was the last time they won, right?
They were good in 2021.
But, yeah, so here's a question I also have for you, Gordo. 2021, how many guys on that team, last time they won, how many guys were on that team that contributed to that team that knew that feeling of winning?
A lot of them. There was a lot of leftover from the 18 team on that 21 team.
No. On this team.
Oh, on this team? Oh, there's none. Devers from that team? Like, you could say Bregman knows how to win, but he wasn't on that team.
That's my point. Is that you have to, and it's, this is a work in progress, and everyone keeps talking about that, but a lot of these guys are coming up and we're talking about one step forward, one step back. That's all they've known for the last 3 years. No, one step forward, one step back. And I get it. The evolution of life, sometimes you break through and you're on your way. But it sure helps to have a Kyle Schwarber sitting there, an Alex Bregman sitting there, some more of these guys sitting there.
But they have that. Like, we said they were going to get that, and that would allow these guys to
go. The problem is that Bregman is a big part of that solution, right? Right? But we've talked about this before. The whole Bregman dynamic, he's been awesome in so many ways.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this Devers thing, he's in a tough space, right?
Well, I would say he was in a much tougher space in the previous iteration of the Devers situation, because Devers wanted to play third base and he was the guy who was kind of taking Devers' job there. Now it's first base versus DH.
Do you think that Alex Bregman's going to go up to Rafael Devers and say, hey, Rafi, you know, I think that what we should do, all right, you just have to like meet with Breslow. Let's get this clear the air.
Why not?
I don't think it's the dynamic that's happening right now. I don't know. I mean, I just don't think it is.
Like, we haven't seen or heard anything regarding Bregman's involvement in the situation.
No, and even when, you know, we heard Breslow the other day on the radio and, you know, say, have you talked to Devers? And he's like, yeah, I talked to all the players. And I'm paraphrasing, but he says sort of in passing. You know, it literally sounded like, you, hey, Rafi, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it sounded like.
Like, I've talked to them.
Right. Yeah, like, hey, what's up? What's up? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, there's a lot to get through. 617-779-7937. As we said, Derek Falvey, the owner of a 12-game win streak, is going to tell us how you win 12 in a row at 1:30. But first, we're going to trend.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics' pursuit of Banner 19 and back-to-back titles is over after they fell to the New York Knicks. 119-81, the final last night in Madison Square Garden. Jaylen Brown led the way with 20 points for the season. Here's what he had to say after the loss.
It stings. Anytime, you know, losing, stings, especially finishing your season like this. You know, it just wasn't our year.
Knicks advance to take on the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series gets underway on Wednesday. Red Sox losing streak was extended to four. They lost to the Atlanta Braves in last night's Garrett Crochet versus Chris Sale pitcher's duel. Crochet got the start, obviously. He went seven innings, allowing two runs on seven hits, striking out eight. They'll be back in action tonight at Fenway. Lucas Giolito on the mound opposite Grant Holmes. You can hear that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Dan Ball will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:15. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo will have the call of the game. First pitch at 7:15. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Denver Nuggets heading to Oklahoma City for a winner-go-home Game 7 tomorrow afternoon. Winner advances to take on the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Over in the NHL, the Maple Leafs staving off elimination with a 2-0 win over the Panthers in Sunrise. They head back to Toronto tomorrow night for Game 7. The Winnipeg Jets are going to follow in the Maple Leafs' footsteps tonight. They'll head to Dallas for Game 6 in a series that the Stars lead 3-2. In the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers and quarterback Brock Purdy agree to a five-year, $265 million extension, making Purdy the fifth highest-paid player in the league. Finally, the Revolution hosting the San Jose Earthquakes tonight at Gillette Stadium. Kickoff at 7:30. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More baseball isn't boring coming up after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball Isn't Boring show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Gordo here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And we're honored to have the only human being on the planet who is the president of baseball operations of a team that has won 12 in a row. Derek Falvey of the Minnesota Twins. Derek, how are you?
I'm well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my goodness. And, by the way, Gordo, Lynn native. I'm sure, Derek, you probably recognize Motorhead. I don't know if you ever saw Motorhead at Lynn Auditorium. I don't know if you've seen anything at Lynn Auditorium. I don't know.
Wait, Motorhead is from?
No, but the Lynn Auditoriums are all the huge acts, right? Right, Derek?
There's a lot that goes on there at Lynn Auditorium that I do remember, but it's a lot of years ago, so don't ask me to recall it.
Well, in all sincerity, congratulations on the win streak. I know that when you were in town, that's when it was just beginning. And first of all, Derek, before I forget, I want to give credit to your buddy who is taking credit for your win streak, because, you know, local guy, right? Your buddy, what's his name?
Yeah, Lynn firefighter Joe Fannin, close friend of mine, who was here at the start of the streak, got a chance to see our Twins play there in Fenway, and then ultimately, so he gets all credit, I think, going forward, or at least I think he thinks he does.
All right.
So, okay, I need to get to the bottom of this, though, because we've got another guy who's taking credit for this.
No, I just take credit from the managerial point of view.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I gave a sticker. As I told Derek, I'm sending a bunch of stickers. It's scientifically proven. Baseballs and boring stickers are magic. Anyway, Derek, besides the stickers, besides the firefighters, besides the best friends, tell us why or how this has happened. And I remember talking to you at Fenway. You're saying, we got this guy coming back, this guy coming back, this guy coming back. But also, it's just when you go on this type of streak, there must be there's a lot that goes into it. From your perspective, what has it been?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, as you said, there's a lot that goes into it. You got to be healthy. You got to have a few things break your way. You know, early on in the season, we scuffled in some really close games, you know, some one-run games that just were breaking the wrong direction. And we felt like we had a good back of the bullpen with guys like Cole Sands and Griffin Jackson, Joan Duran finishing games. But those one-run games can be tough early on. And for us, from that point forward, it kind of felt like it started there in Fenway. We played two really tough games. I mean, that Red Sox team is a great team. And we felt like we were fighting to the finish in each of those games, and that got us going a little bit. When we left there, came back home, had a chance to really lean on our starting pitching, and that's really been key for us. I mean, Pablo Lopez has been our anchor for the last few years. Joe Ryan has really stepped up and pitched well the last few seasons too. But, you know, Bailey Ober, Chris Paddock, guys like that have really stepped up behind. When you go through a streak like this, you need very consistent starting pitching, and we've been able to get that.
So, Derek, I want to go back to, you talked about you guys losing one-run games early and how you've kind of turned the corner from that. When you've got a team that's losing a lot of close games like that, is your solution to attack it head-on and figure out what's the issue, or is your solution, you're losing one-run games, it's going to turn the corner eventually, like water finds its level? Like, what was your approach there?
Well, it's a little bit of both, right? You can't ignore it and look at it and say, hey, everything will just work out and throw your hands in the air. You want to look and see, okay, under the surface, are guys doing things that we think are leading to us losing those one-run games? And there were some moments where, from a pitch selection standpoint, maybe some of our relievers not going to their best stuff ahead in the count. But those are things the pitching coaches and the staff really dive into and make sure that, you know, they're going to more often. But then it's also about the consistency you show up with every day. You do have to realize that baseball over 162 is a long season. And if you get too caught up in a couple of short outings that don't go well, I think you can try and fix something that isn't broken. And when we looked at our bullpen, we felt like it was a really good group, a really deep group. Fortunately, has continued to pitch well, and we've leaned on a number of different guys out there. But you want to stay supportive, too, through the course of that. Inside that clubhouse, you know, those guys are feeling it when they're scuffling and those games are tight late. And it's just really important the way you show up. Rocco Baldelli's done a great job for us in that, navigating through a tough stretch. To me, it's all about consistency in the way you show up every day and make sure that you're attacking the plan that you already have laid out.
Well, you mentioned Rocco. Derek Falvey, president of baseball operations for the Twins, joins us. You mentioned Rocco, and obviously you guys have been together for some time right now. And you know, anytime you have a day like today where we see Brandon Hyde being let go by the Orioles, you come to appreciate the longevity and the importance of having that foundation guy. And I think, you know, you found that in Rocco. And if you could just talk a little bit about the importance of that, because really, Derek, you know, you go through the struggles that you did at the beginning of the year. A lot of managers be like, oh, we got to turn everything over. We got to turn everything over. A lot of credit has to go to Rocco in this case too, right?
Oh, 100%, Rob. I mean, I think that through that stretch, the most important relationship you have there is kind of who's leading up your baseball group, who's leading up the clubhouse and in that dugout. And Rocco and I have that. And, you know, every day when it's tough, you know, behind closed doors, we're both wearing it. You know, we're feeling it when those games are going tight. But the key there is, do you look at the group and are they continuing to show up every day trying to find solutions and trying to find a way to fight? And, you know, this is the reality of sports, right? It's what we signed up for. when things don't go well, sometimes your tenures end. But I think when you can lean into each other and feel like you're all trying to pull on the same end of the rope, you know, that's when the special stuff can happen. And I think through that stretch of time, you saw guys showing up every day, trying to find solutions, trying to find answers, you know, keeping the positivity up, keeping the energy in the clubhouse up. And then hopefully you get through and you can weather the storm, come out on the other end together. And it's something that I think we've been able to do a few times along the way here.
So you've got a few horses in the back of that bullpen. And I feel like people downplay the importance of bullpens so frequently. But how important, especially during a streak like this where you guys are winning seemingly every day, is having the amount of absolute horses back there with insane stuff that you guys have?
Yeah, it's really important because you know that at any stretch in time, these guys can't go every single day, right? So there's going to be a stretch. If you're winning a lot of games and a lot of close games like we have, you're going to have to lean on those seventh, eighth inning guys when you're up. But then you get to a point where those guys have gone 3 of 3 or 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5, and you know they do need a little bit of a blow. So who can you lean on who's in the rest of the pen? And for us, that's been huge. You know, guys that have stepped up. Danny Coulomb, a great fit for us. Guy we knew a number of years back, came back to us this year, signed him into a one-year deal. And he's just been a really nice left-handed complement to the guys I already mentioned. And there's a number of other guys. Brock Stewart came back healthy. He's got good stuff. So it's really about having the depth of the group. You're going to have bad days. And bullpen guys are going to have bad days. And sometimes their ERAs balloon. But how do they show up each time they get out there is really critical. And the group that we have going right now has really pitched well for us.
Yeah, Derek, I was looking at your win streak here. Is in that time, the relievers, 0.46 ERA, 189 batting average against. I mean, wow. Yeah, that's a good feeling.
That's impressive. Right?
That's a good feeling. Another thing we talked about when you were at Fenway, Derek, is the dynamic of making trades and having the conviction of what you have heading into a season, but then understanding when you need to adjust and then the difficulties of actually having to adjust in May. Can you talk a little bit about that, about when you do get to this point of the season, when you say, all right, we need to fix this, but how in the world are we going to fix it because May trades are so hard to make?
Yeah, we talked about it, Rob. You know, the one thing, we've seen a few over the course of the last few years that have popped early in the season. I think the reality is with the new playoff format, with the additional wild cards, with the reality of the tight competitiveness, it feels like, at least over the last few seasons, there's only been a few teams where you enter the season saying they're clearly in a rebuild mode, right? There's been so many teams out there that are competing. And so what that leads to is just very few sellers. You want to get further into the season to see if you can get things going in the right direction. And, you know, the American League Central the last couple of years has been very competitive. Kansas City's been really good. Cleveland's always right there. Detroit is playing as good as anybody in baseball right now. So we knew we were going to have to compete and find answers and solutions internally and quickly early on. But we need to now shift our attention as we get toward the middle portion of May and into early June, thinking about, okay, what are ways we could add to this if we continue to keep on the path we're on here?
You know, Derek, I had said this earlier in the show. The narrative was the American League is really thinned out, and maybe it's a good time to take advantage. I don't think the American League's thinned out anymore. I mean, in your estimation, is the American League even better than maybe we thought? Because if we're going to match it up, it's right there. Your division is tough, man. Like, it's a pretty good American League as we've hit mid-May here, isn't it?
I believe that. And sometimes people think it's maybe not quite as good, so to speak, because there's a lot of parity, right? And so some of the records haven't really run away. But I think that's exactly what speaks to how good it is. I mean, each night when you look up, there aren't a lot of teams, you know, that are out there that you feel like, okay, this is just a series, we can take it a little lighter. And even the teams that have scuffled a little bit at the outset, some of them have really good talent underneath the surface, and we know we'll be good at some point when they get going. So I just feel like for me, it every night you show up, it feels like when you're playing an American League opponent, and it's obviously true in the National League too, you feel like you got a lot of competition out there, and we feel like we have it in the AL Central, that's for sure.
And Ryan Fitzgerald, up. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, right? Gets called up.
Pretty cool. For a kid who's been around and played a bunch of minor league spots, you know, the unfortunate reality when Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa collided the other day, Carlos had to go on the concussion IL, and we were in need of someone who could go play all around the infield. But when you have a kid in your system who's been, you know, been a journeyman, been around some places, but never really gave up and always pushed, that's kind of what's special about baseball. You don't see that in a lot of other sports. You know, a kid like that getting a major league opportunity, seeing his family in the stands last night, you know, those are moments that kind of make you happy to be around baseball.
I just remember, Derek, I tweeted this out in 2018. He had just signed with the Red Sox out of Independent League. And batting stance guy, our good friend Gar Reines, the guy who imitates batting stance, is walking through. And Ryan Fitzgerald's this guy that we have no idea who he is. He's like, hey, maybe someday you'll do my batting stance. And so now is the time. Now is the time.
There we go.
Yeah. But Derek, awesome. Thank you so much, man. Congratulations. Always great talk with you. And I'm sorry that we don't have a whiner line to as an homage to your WI listenership growing up here in this area. But always one of our favorites and really appreciate it, Derek.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Thanks, Derek.
All right. That's Derek Falvey, president of baseball operations, the Minnesota Twins. They've won 12 in a row, man. Like, when you win 12 in a row, we got to talk to you. Like, you got to figure that out. And as I said, you brought it up, the bullpen. I'm like, this is
– it's crazy.
It's nuts. So if you look at that time, over that time, let's see where the Red Sox are when this. So during this stretch, they've won 12 in a row. They have, as we said, 0.46 ERA, 189 batting average against. Red Sox, not bad. 3.05 ERA. And ERA
out of the bullpen?
Everything. Yeah, out of the bullpen. Yeah, but it's the Red Sox issue, and I think you brought it up, to have those guys where you're like, there it is.
Well, that's where they're short. It's and Derek talked about it on that call. It's when you're going through runs here where guys, your setup, your closer, your setup guys, they're going, you know, 3 out of 4 days, 2 out of 3 days. Who can you turn to and trust in those leverage spots? The Red Sox have a lot of relievers who, yeah, like, you've had a good season. We trust you in some spots. They don't have a lot of guys where, you know, it's a 4-3 ball game in the eighth and you just need a guy to bridge to Chapman.
What's interesting also is last time I looked up, the Red Sox starters had thrown the third most pitches of any starting rotation third time through the order, which is a lot of times you say that's a good thing.
Yeah, on the surface, that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's because, like, as we saw the other day with Hunter Dobbins, right?
Because you have
to. That a necessity.
Like, the Dobbins thing the other day, like, my thought during that moment was the bullpen got absolutely – it got used heavily the day before. You had to push Dobbins. It didn't feel like he was in a spot where he was going to make it through that next inning, but you had to do it. And, yeah, he didn't make it through successfully, and that in a close game that you end up losing by a run, those are the things that cost you.
All right, 617-779-7937. We're here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios at Fenway Park. I'm Rod Bradford along with Gordo, the Play Tessie guys. And this is the Baseballs and Borg Show. But before we go to break, I want to go to John in the car who's been waiting patiently. John, I appreciate your patience. What's going on, my friend?
No problem. I appreciate the show. Really like what you guys do. So jumper cables, bringing up the kids. Why does everybody always assume the kids are going to transition really well? I mean, Christian Campbell was ripping the cover off the ball at the beginning of the season. Now, not so much. You know, the league figured out the book on him, and we don't know yet really what we have there. So, I mean, I appreciate the excitement of the young kids and everything, but, you know, we always assume, oh, it's going to go great if they come up. And I'm more disappointed in, like, established major leaguers like Bregman, whose fielding has been not as good as expected, not as advertised.
Well, John, it's a fair point by you, but this is what I would say. Yeah, you don't know how that's going to translate. They might be picked apart when they get called up here. But we're just looking for options and alternatives and solutions. And as we just heard from Derek Falvey, the president of baseball operations for the Twins, making trades in May is very, very difficult. Very difficult. And we saw that last year when Casas got hurt. How did you try to do it? Well, you got Garrett Cooper. You got Dom Smith.
Patch it together.
You know, the year before, Pablo Reyes, that sort of thing. So you have, to me, like, this is what the kids represent is the next level of a potential solution. Not certainty, but
taking a shot at something.
At a higher end. So, I mean, you raise a good point, John, but that's just my explanation for it.
Well, here's the other thing is that the guys that you have in these spots, like, Nick Sogard is playing the majority of first base right now. He's got a 627 OPS. Trevor Story's playing shortstop right now. He's got a 652 OPS. Like, you've seen what a lot of these guys that you're throwing out there every single day can do. With Meyer and Anthony, yeah, like, they are the elite of the elite prospects in baseball, and we have seen those caliber of guys come up to the major leagues and struggle right away. So no one is sitting here saying that those guys are definitely going to have instant success in the majors. But I think that there's a ceiling there that you could tap into with those guys that some of the guys that they're rolling out here just don't have.
So we talked, Gordo, about how do you get Marcelo Meyer up here. Next, we're going to talk about how you get Roman Anthony up here. Because at some point, you got to get Roman Anthony up here. All right? 617-779-7937. This is a Baseball Isn't Boring show. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Gordo of Play Tessie. Be back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Now, more of Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
Excellent job, Mitch. Excellent job. I need that today. That and this, like, the IV of caffeine.
You're doubling up on caffeine, aren't you?
I'm tripling up. I'm doing whatever it takes. I'm doing whatever it takes, Gordo. I'm Rob Bradford. That is Gordo, the Playtesting Podcast. By the way, we're at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio. Speaking of Ford, this is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry up to get on employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America, for America. Well, let me just tell you, Gordo, it's been a fantastic show. I appreciate Derek Falvey, President of Baseball Operations, Minnesota Twins, joining. And I love the Lynn Auditorium talk. You ever go to the show at Lynn Auditorium?
No.
Neither have I. I just see the billboards for it all the time.
When you
Lynn Auditorium is, you see somebody, you see like a performer, and you're like, recognize, oh, I know that performer.
From somewhere.
But no, I remember, it's the Lynn Auditorium are the people who used to play the Garden about 20 years ago. You know, it's not named Bruce Springsteen. You know, so, or maybe 30 years ago.
The Garden wasn't a
what I'm saying is that it's like the headliners of yesteryear are usually playing the Lynn Auditorium.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And then you get to my place over where I live, the Cabot in Beverly, and Belinda Carlisle's playing there. So you don't even know who Belinda Carlisle that's right.
It's not even like I recognize the name thing.
Yeah, I know.
My pop culture knowledge is just
it's so weak. It's so weak. But you know what? You know what will help your pop culture knowledge? Will help it? That sweet hat that you got on, the Baseballs and Boring hat on. And Red Sox people, if you know what's good, if you want to win, listen, it's up to you. It's up to you, Red Sox, right? If you want to win, you come down, you get a Baseballs and Boring sticker, and you also deliver Gordo some sweet baseballs in Boring City Connect gear. All right.
I want some merch.
He wants some merch.
Want the merch.
He's earned it. I haven't earned it. I won't take it. It's fine. Gordo has earned it. 617-779-7937. Okay, let's go to Tim and Lowell. Hey, Tim. How you doing, Tim? What's going on?
Good afternoon, guys. Great interview. Always great to hear an interview with a local guy who's made it big.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Derek Falvey, Lynn Zone. Let's go.
Absolutely. Listen, right to the point. Fire Alex Cora. It's time. when you see players making the base running mistakes that this team has been making over the last couple of years, that shows a lack of respect and fear of the manager. They like Alex Cora, but they don't respect or fear him. And he's the one that turned Rafael Devers into a spoiled brat. He catered to him since the day he got hired. And like a spoiled kid that's always used to get his own way, when they asked him to make a sacrifice for the team and at least try playing first base, he pouted and held his breath and stamped his feet like a spoiled kid. And he got his own way, and they just let it go. You know, what I would do is I would take the kid Roman Anthony and give him and try and turn him into a first baseman. Campbell, it's a waste of his talent. He's got too much speed to throw him at first base. He really should be an outfielder. Anthony has an issue with his shoulder. He's got the size. He's the ideal candidate to try and make him a first baseman. And I would consider trading Rafael Devers if the move was a – if they could get a good move, you know, a good piece to replace him.
Hey, Tim, thanks for the call, Tim. I'm not saying anything's wrong. I'm not – everything's on the table, man. Everything's on the table, Gordo.
I wouldn't consider firing Alex Cora.
Oh, I mean, that's not I'm talking about the player.
Oh, about the players.
Player maneuvering.
Player maneuvering. I still wouldn't put Roman Anthony at first base. I would find a way to get him up here, but I just...
You know, I think that when it comes to the Devers stuff, it's two... I want to make this clear. It's two different conversations, right? It's the conversation of what you feel like was the best thing to do as a teammate, as a player, as an employee, and what is the best thing for the Boston Red Sox as on the field, right? So... we can make this very strong case that Devers playing first isn't even the best thing. Like, it's fine. Like, it's an avenue. But I kind of like the idea, and he said the athleticism of Christian Campbell. Fine. You have to be an athlete to play at first base. It's fine. Like, that would arguably be better than Devers playing first base. Christian Campbell, first baseman, better than Devers, yes or no?
I don't know. We've never seen either of them. The truth is, Rob, they need to come to a solution that allows them to get one of Yoshida, Anthony, Meyer in the majors. Campbell at first, Devers at first, accomplished that. So you have to figure out how to do that as soon as possible, or else the losses are going to keep stacking.
And I talked about the scenario of getting Anthony up, and I do want to get to Tony and Bridgewater before you hit the break. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey, what's happening, Rob?
Greetings. You know,
they're so frustrating, the Red Sox, because they have the talent. First of all, honest to God, the fish always start to rot from the head down. Breslow, to me, has always been a puppet guy. And right now, he's had a terrible time. He's not respected by Cora. I know this. He's not respected by his players, obviously, but when Devers is telling him to do the job. And for John Henry to fly on a plane to come down to put out this little small fire shows me that, you know, just think about it, Rob, in a business world. And the owner has to come. And what's that say about the GM? What's that say about the boss? That he's not capable of handling it. So I don't think he's respected across the board, to be honest with you. And that's just the start of the Red Sox issues.
Well, and thanks for the call, Tony. Appreciate it.
Do you think that's a crazy – because, I've heard that take before. I don't think it's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I think it doesn't – listen, I think that you have to – it's a results business, and you have to win, right? You have to get the players. You have to pull the right strings. You have to make the right decisions. And is he deferring too much for the analytic side of things instead of what he used to be, a player's GM, whatever it is? But the part – of the Devers thing with John Henry flying out there, which does make me, and I hadn't really thought of it until we started talking about it. I say, okay, Devers does his thing on Thursday afternoon. You know, Henry gasses up the jet and they all fly out there on Friday. Henry and Cora meet with Devers on Friday in Kansas City. Okay, all is well as right in the world, and Devers goes off in Kauffman Stadium and fine.
Breslow not in that meeting.
Breslow not in that meeting, and all we know is, you know, and I maybe we're wrong, but all we have to go is Breslow on the Greg Hill show, talking about, you talked to Devers, and he said sort of sounded like in passing maybe. But throughout that meeting, going through that meeting, well, what was the payoff of the meeting? It was maybe it was that Rafael Devers is in a better headspace. Maybe John Henry feels better about himself.
What do you think?
Maybe Alex Cora feels better about it. But ultimately, is the message being sent to the team that, hey, this is your boss, we have to all get behind this and respect? Is the message being sent out to the public, hey, this is, I was emotional. As he said, he was an emotional guy. I was emotional. That's what I said. But correct me if I'm wrong, Gordo, we haven't heard any of that. None.
We don't know. We don't know any of the fallout from it. We don't even know what the tone in the meeting was. Like, did John Henry come to sort of, okay, we're gonna put out this fire. We're gonna be gentle. We're gonna make sure that he's okay. Or was
you're gonna do what's best. All we've heard is it was a productive meeting. That's all we have to go by.
Yeah, we know nothing.
But in a lot of times that doesn't mean anything. You know, they could go on the Twins 12-game win streak. I don't know. But all I know is this. It's more, we always talk about part of the solution, not part of the problem. It's more part of the problem than part of the solution.
What is?
This, like, not having answers to these questions we're asking, yeah. Right?
No, this is now a week old, like, the Devers media, the Devers, where he went off in the media, that was a Friday, correct?
Yeah.
So we're now over a week removed from that, and we don't have a...
Because what happens? It's just like the Bill Belichick thing. Nobody complains about Bill Belichick not answering questions and being a jerk at press conferences when they're winning. But when they don't start, when they stop winning, then, and he does stupid stuff, then you're like, what's going on? You got to do this. And that's the problem. When Devers went off in Kansas City, it was all is well. A meeting went fine. Everything's great. But now we're sitting there and we're trying to bob and weave our way through solutions here to a problem. And when we say it's a problem, yeah, they're five games back, three games in the wild card, but you're two games under 500 for a team that you've hit mid-May, and you have to be better against, we just said it, against an American League that, I'm sorry, is a really good American League, I think, across the board. And when you say, the National League's maybe top-heavy better, but this is the problem, Gordo, is that...
There's no easy,
that's it. When you go into a series against the A's, the Rangers, the
Angels?
No.
Well, who are you trying to... Whatever. But the issue is also that the vast majority,
the teams that aren't named, the Orioles, the Angels, and the White Sox.
But they won only four out of their seven against the White Sox, too.
Right. So if you aren't going into a series against those teams, there is no certainty. You aren't saying, you're going to roll through those teams. And that's a problem because there's a lot of those teams you have to play. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Gordo, excellent job. First hour. Let's go.
We'll be back two more, right?
Two more. All the way up to the pregame show.
Two more.
Oh, I'm sorry. All the way up until Dan Ball takes over and then he has a show and then he gets into the pregame show because it's a rare Saturday night, 7 o'clock game. But we are at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. We're going to be with you to talk the great game of baseball. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.